Good day, everybody, and welcome to our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. This is episode 20, in which we will review some of the slew of bowl games that we've seen in the last week or so. We'll talk about some trends that we've seen and some performances. We'll look at how the conferences are faring in the postseason, and we will make our picks on the four college football playoff quarterfinals in the big bowl games that start New Year's Eve evening in Tempe and continue on New Year's Day with the other three games. So we'll make our choices there. We make four picks as usual, as we've done each week through the season. As we review the bowl games that have been prolific in their number here in the last week or so, one of the most interesting results to me was at the Military Bowl. Navy, and this is down in Fort Worth, Navy defeated Oklahoma 21-20 in a really thrilling game. Navy quarterback Blake Horvath, who we've discussed previously on the podcast, a Hilliard Darby graduate from down by Columbus, set a Navy record with a 95-yard touchdown run. Think of all the great players, Roger Staubach, et cetera, that have played at Navy. He now holds that record. After the game, I loved it. He said, well, I'm an Ohio State fan, and I remember Zeke Elliott's 85 yards through the heart of the South, so I thought I'd do him 10 better, which was fantastic. The loss gave Oklahoma, this is the other side of the coin here, Navy obviously finishing a terrific season. They beat Army, which makes it a great season in and of itself. They won 10 games, a terrific season for the midshipmen. The other side of the coin is Oklahoma. Oklahoma now finishes with a 6-7 record for the second time in Brent Venables' three seasons there as head coach. I would say that puts him squarely on the hot seat in Norman. They have an incredibly difficult 2025 schedule in front of them. Things are going to have to get better fast in Norman for Brent Venables to survive, I would think. I'm not one that wants to run off coaches or anything like that, but just the reality of that situation is if you're going to coach the Oklahoma Sooners, you can't have 2 6-7 seasons in 3 years and not be on the hot seat at least, and he will be. So we'll see how they do. Navy and Army, again, first time ever in the same season that they've each won 10 games. There are discussions, by the way, going on regarding Army and Navy and the American Conference about allowing them to play 13 regular season games, much as the NCAA has done with teams that have to go to Hawaii to play. They are eligible to play a 13th regular season game. Not all of them do. A couple of them did this year. They still want to put the Army-Navy game after the American Conference Championship. But there's some discussions about that timing. Now that they're in the same conference, and boy, did they succeed in it, there's some realignment issues with their scheduling and so forth that are getting discussed. It'll be interesting to see where that lands with the two service academies. Other bowl notes that I jotted down here, the Colorado-BYU game at the Alamo Bowl, is the announcing team, Dave Pasch's announcing team, is getting some heat. I'm not sure that that's warranted. Of course, they're going to talk about Colorado. Colorado, Deion Sanders, his son Shador, Travis Hunter, the Heisman Trophy winner. You're going to talk about those guys. BYU played a terrific game and just housed them in the Alamo Bowl. And they did talk some about the BYU program and gave it credit and so forth. I'm not sure that all of the whining is warranted from the BYU side. BYU had a great year and probably 2 minutes away from an undefeated season. And they took Colorado to the woodshed. That was a weird bowl game in that both of those teams are in the same conference, the Big 12. They did not play each other during the regular season, so it was not like a rematch in a bowl game. But hats off to BYU. They really pounded Colorado last night with the world watching. And hats off to Deion and his players for not, you know, taking the bowl game off. Or they were in the game. They were down 36-7 in the fourth quarter, and Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter were still out there playing hard. I really like that about them. So hats off to them as well. Not hats off to Miami, the Miami Hurricanes. They kind of look like the old bad Miami Hurricanes. At one point, there was a fight that broke out amongst their own players on the sideline. Cam Ward, their outstanding quarterback, threw three touchdown passes in the first half. They had a 31-28 lead at halftime, and then he decided that he was going to sit out the rest of the game. Miami wound up losing the game 42-41 to Iowa State, which had its first 11-win season in its history. Congratulations to Coach Matt Campbell and his Iowa State Cyclones. But the idea that if you suit up, you ought to play, I think, until the coach says, hey, you're not going to play anymore. I know that's a little old school, but I didn't like the fact that Cam Ward played long enough to get his record and then sat while the team struggled and wound up losing the game. That doesn't sit well with me and probably some of you as well. There was an ugly scene in Annapolis. It didn't involve the Naval Academy, but the Military Bowl was played there on Saturday night. East Carolina and North Carolina State in a wild one that had late turnovers and craziness. But with about 45 seconds to go, a brawl broke out on the field. One of the referees had a big cut under his left eye as a result of it. It was a very ugly scene. Both coaches took a little bit of a blame for that. It was, certainly not becoming of either institution. These are two schools that are only 83 miles apart down in North Carolina. And wouldn't you know, the first game of the season, next season in late August, is East Carolina at North Carolina State. Well, we'll see how that rolls. Hopefully cooler heads will prevail and they'll play a good, exciting football game and not have any of this extracurricular shenanigans taking place, as we saw Saturday night. Pretty ugly there in Annapolis. The other takeaway, I didn't watch all of the games. Couldn't possibly watch all of the games on Saturday. Had to work a little bit, too. Coach Bill Belichick has a big job in front of him down in Chapel Hill at the University of North Carolina. I did get to watch most of the first half of the Fenway Bowl. The pesky pole kept getting in the way of the TV shots. That was pretty funny. But North Carolina is not very good. I realize that some of their best players are either hurt or opted out. But that's just not a very good, very deep football program right now. Bill Belichick has a lot of work cut out for him. Not that he can't get something done. I'm not doubting that. But it's a pretty big job that awaits him down there in Chapel Hill. We'll see how the Tar Heels fare come August and September. I do want to run down the conference results so far in bowl games. This is through the games of Saturday, December 29th. We're recording on Sunday, or the 28th, I guess. We're recording on Sunday, the 29th. There are no college football games on this date, only one on Monday, and then the big games start Tuesday and Wednesday. So as of right now, as of the end of Saturday, December 28th's games, the conference standings in bowl games are as follows. The American Conference, the American Athletic Conference, is 6-1 in their bowl games. That's the best record of any league. Looking at these here, I don't have them in order. Independents are 2-0. Notre Dame has won one. They still have more to play. Maybe more than one. We'll see. And the UConn win over North Carolina was another one. So the Independents end up 2-0. The Big Ten so far is 4-2. They have quite a few games left, as are the MAC. The MAC doesn't have too many games left. The MAC, or the Mid-American Conference, right here in the Midwest, is 4-2 in their bowl games. Good job by them. The SEC and the Big 12 both are 4-3. The Sun Belt Conference is 3-3 in their bowl games. Conference USA is 1-4. The Mountain West Conference, Boise State's league, is 1-3. And the one that really gets your attention and I really think is a little troubling for them, the Atlantic Coast Conference is 1-9 in bowl games. They have a couple left. I know Duke plays one. I forget who else. I'm not looking at the whole schedule here, but 1-9. That's a league that kind of had a crisis in confidence as far as football goes going into the season, and a 1-9 bowl season is going to do nothing to help that out. All these TV networks and negotiations and where your games are, and the ACC complained all year because ABC/ESPN was giving the big primetime assignments to the SEC, where they had more money invested. The ACC didn't help its cause here with their postseason performance, that's for sure. We'll see what happens there. That'll be interesting to follow as we go on. But those are the conference records as of this point in bowl season. Now we'll move on to our conference or our college football playoff quarterfinals, and we'll make some picks here with the point spread as we do every week. Tuesday night in Arizona at the Fiesta Bowl, it will be Penn State and Boise State. On Wednesday, New Year's Day, the first game will be the Peach Bowl, where Texas will take on Arizona State. Then we move out to Pasadena, California, the granddaddy of them all. The sun setting over the San Gabriel Mountains at the end of the third quarter. You all know what we're talking about here. The Rose Bowl, a Big Ten matchup. Ohio State plays Oregon. That's a rematch from the game in October in Eugene, where the Buckeyes lost 32-31 in a great football game, by the way. And we top off New Year's night at the Sugar Bowl, as we usually do, with a rematch of the 1981 Sugar Bowl. Georgia will play Notre Dame. There are some interesting storylines there as well. So our record in making four picks a week throughout the college football season this year, 37 wins, 29 losses, and a tie. So we are above water, as they say, and doing okay. Let's take these games one at a time. The Fiesta Bowl, New Year's Eve. Penn State is an 11-point favorite over the Mountain West champs, Boise State. They're good. Penn State's got a really stout defense. They can do enough on offense. Tyler Warren, Drew Aller, that maybe not the most prolific offense in the bowls, but they can get some things done. Boise State has a pretty interesting and pretty good history in the Fiesta Bowl. The first year that they played it in the new stadium down there in Glendale, you may remember after the 2007 season, they pulled off a couple of really great trick plays at the end of the game and beat a really good Oklahoma team in the Fiesta Bowl. They'll be comfortable. They'll have a good following there, probably a bigger following than the Nittany Lions have at the game. Penn State is an 11-point favorite as of last night. I'm going to go with Boise State to cover. I think they can make it a close game, closer than the experts think, as Lee Corso always used to say. So we'll take Boise State plus 11 in the Fiesta Bowl. Moving on to New Year's Day, Texas, the Longhorns, are 13.5-point favorites over the Arizona State Sun Devils in Atlanta. Not a real home field advantage for either team. 13.5 is a lot. I'll take Arizona State to cover there as well. Cam Scataboo will be the focus of the Texas defense all day, I'm sure. The Rose Bowl, the Ohio State Buckeyes, in spite of being the 8th seed, playing the 1 seed Oregon Ducks, Ohio State is a 2.5-point favorite in the Rose Bowl game against Oregon. Probably mostly based on two things. One, Ohio State always gets a lot of eyes and a lot of bets placed on them. And two, boy, they really looked good against Tennessee in that first playoff game. I can't do anything but take the Buckeyes. We'll take the Buckeyes minus 2.5 in the Rose Bowl and hope that plays out that way. And then in the evening at the Sugar Bowl, Notre Dame taking 1.5 points. Georgia are 1.5-point favorites over Notre Dame, in spite of the fact that they will be playing their backup quarterback, the Bulldogs will. It goes against everything I stand for, but I'm going to take the Irish. I'll take Notre Dame and Coach Marcus Freeman, former Buckeye player, to win that game down in New Orleans. So once again, to wrap up our picks here, to review, we're going to take Boise State 11-point underdogs in the Fiesta Bowl. We're going to take Arizona State 13.5-point underdogs in the Peach Bowl. We're going to take the Buckeyes 2.5-point favorite in the Rose Bowl. And we're going to take the underdog Fighting Irish, 1.5 underdogs against Georgia at the Sugar Bowl. We'll see. Looking forward to those games as always. A little bit more on the line in all of them now because they're all quarterfinal playoff games. So we'll see how they roll. It should be fun watching all those games. Okay, that'll do it. for our In Between the Holidays edition of the fifth quarter. I'm your host, John Shomo. Hopefully your team does well in the coming big games here this week. Have a happy new year, everybody, and we'll talk to you on the other side. See you later.